Praise God. Well, we're just getting the slides. If you were here last time I spoke, you've probably got a little clue that I'm going to talk about hope again. We sang earlier, what gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. I just want to remind us this morning that the unspeakable gift of grace has been given for you, for me, for the whole world. He's given the gift. And these words in this hymn, wonderful, isn't it? There's no more for heaven now to give. In that sense, it's the gift has been given. Jesus Christ, the precious one, the joy of heaven. And in that song we sang a number of times, talked about the night being dark, but I'm not forsaken, for by my side the Saviour, he will stay. This is truly the gift that keeps on giving. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing. There's a bit of an oxymoron for you. But bless the Lord, the Christian faith is full of apparent paradox. I labour on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. Will we yield to the tenderizing? Will we yield to the leading? And we sang in the refrain a number of times, to this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. My hope, I'm going to say it again, just in case you wondered, the third time, just so it really sinks in. My hope is only Jesus. I was chatting to our daughters yesterday about how I hope the rain will ease off at times, and I hope the heating will get fixed, and I really hope lots of things. I often say in text, you know, I'll send text or message to people, I hope you're having a good day, and that's all fine and well. And that's a way we often use hope. I hope you get better soon. And then someone's ill for like years. So if that's my hope and stay, if that's my surety, that's going to disappoint. That's a hope. And we talk about it regularly, don't we? I hope, you know, things will work out for you. And then someone passes through some severe tenderization to pick up on the picture. So we need to be clear, don't we, when we talk about hope, that the Christian hope, the hope, my hope is only Jesus, is a completely different kettle of fish. Now that's a poor phrase to use, but it's on a completely different plane to, I hope I win the lottery. Now, all good Christian people, I'd just like to advise you, don't invest your money in that way. But we hear it, don't we? We talk in this way, I hope this, I hope that, I hope the other. And there's actually no surety, there's no guarantee that it's going to pan out quite in the temporary way that we hope. I hope you have a good week. I don't know how your week, I'm looking forward here. Chan had a bad one, she said quite openly, last week. Put that behind us. I don't know how your week is going to go. I don't know how the rest of the day is going to go. I hope you have a good time. Hope you have a lovely day. You might have an absolute shocker. That is not within my gift to affect. Do you see? I know it's a little bit of a silly way to put it, but we have an anchor. We sang in that first hymn about the anchor, and we'll look there again. I want to remind you, forgive me if you were here last time, but I think some of these things are well worth repeating. We have an anchor, we sing, that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep. Go on. And now Dave's going to tell us which number it is in the red. Honestly, the talent in this room is just wonderful. Joy, thank you for sharing that this morning. Amazing. It's amazing how the Lord is able to speak when we haven't even spoken the words that are expressing how we're feeling. And you said you hadn't even perhaps articulated it even in your mind. But essentially it was, my tank's empty. Or I'm pretty close to empty. Have you ever been there? Let's be honest. I'm running on empty. Well, praise God for everything, but praise Him specifically this morning for this living hope. And last time I kind of said we were going to think about it in terms of a meditation on living hope. There we go. Look at that. Perfect. Hope you can all see the screen. Don't get distracted by it. We talked last time at some length about this idea of that we're to persevere, to keep on hoping. I'm not going to linger there, but I'm just going to read a scripture. There's many you could turn to. But in Romans 4, when talking about Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah's story was one of remarkable ups and downs. It was some journey through mountaintop times and deep valleys and everything in between. And God had spoken clearly to Abraham, but the problem was the circumstances in which Abraham and Sarah found themselves at that particular moment in time was, let's be frank, impossible. So their life, they were getting on. Let's just put it that way. They were knocking on, naturally speaking. And God comes into their circumstances and speaks a word into the very place of the impossibility. So if you're familiar with the scriptures, you will be aware that Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. It was impossible. And they were way beyond the time of being able to anyway. And then God, in His great wisdom, speaks to the very place in Abraham and Sarah's life that had impossibility written all over it and was vulnerable. Don't go there, I would have suggested, in my humble opinion. Don't. But God is God. God is God, and only He can go there. Just a word of caution. Don't just go there randomly in people's lives because you think it's helpful. Don't. But the Lord can. The Lord can. And He came to that dear couple. And Sarah's response was, sorry, I'm paraphrasing, you must be joking. That was the context, very brief context setting. Forgive me, I just want to speak this word that's written of Abraham and Sarah and their faith in God, who'd worked not just theoretically, not just a flash in the pan, but over the long haul, the journey of faith, the tenderizing of God's work by His Holy Spirit, the leading we heard about too, the speaking we heard from Joy when the tank's empty. The Lord's in it from start to finish. No wonder He's called Alpha and Omega. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? the beginning and the end, the A and the Z, or if you're from America, the Z. Oh, bless him. He's a good shepherd who loves us from start to finish and everything in between. And all the brokenness and all the apparent waste and all the confusion and heartache. In his hands, if we will yield to him, he's working something so beautiful. He's the ultimate artist. I've been thinking so much of the Lord in this sense. I know it's only one aspect of his character, but the consummate artist who spends great time and care over precious souls. And even if you don't know him this morning, I want to tell you that he's on your case. He's loved you before you were even born. And he's after you with such a passion and a purpose. With exquisite care and tender mercies, he's nearer to you than your own breath. And we're here this morning because God, in his great love and mercy, has called it to be so. Isn't that wonderful? Can't get my head around that. Because I made a decision to get out of bed and come down here this morning. But you know what? Before and in and after and over all our decisions and our choices, somehow the mystery of who God is, he's working to save us and to love us and to bring it all together. Oh, praise him. Keep on hoping. So here we've got Abraham and Sarah. The Lord's spoken right into the very core of who they are, right into their tenderest part. And this is what we read as we look back on that. And this is for our instruction. We actually read in Romans that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So as we look at Abraham and Sarah, it's so that we might have hope. Oh, praise God. Listen to this. It's a different version perhaps than what you used to. Romans 4 verse 18. It says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. No reason for hope. What on earth was going on there? Was he just really motivated and kind of like a peppy kind of guy whose glass was not just half full? I read a lovely thing in a book Chan gave me for Christmas. I think it was a boy and a horse. And one says to the other, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty? And I think it may have been the mole at this point says, I'm just ever so grateful I've got a glass. You're all laughing like that was a joke. It wasn't. That's instructive in terms of thankfulness. You know, sometimes we're like thinking about this, that and the other, when actually we should just be thankful today. We have breath in our bodies. Food in our bellies and a roof over our heads. I'm just thankful. I've got a glass. Dear Abraham, what was it when there was no reason for hope? How did he keep hoping? He was believing that he would become a father. He didn't just stop there. Of many nations. There's a slight technical hitch here, Abraham. Well, we read in the scriptures in Hebrews something about what was going on behind this, why he could keep on hoping. This wasn't just pie in the sky, airy-fairy kind of, I'm going to really psych myself up. And this isn't to say either that we should just kind of conjure up, oh, the Lord said this to me. If he hasn't, you've got no basis on which to rest fully on that particular thing. Okay? Is that, you understand that? Absolutely. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 down to 20, we looked briefly at this last time. I'd just like to revisit here. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. What was going on for Abraham to be able to keep on hoping when there was, in fact, circumstantially no reason? No reason to hope. Listen, for when God made a promise, this is key. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, this is God speaking to Abraham, surely, surely, don't you love that? Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. That was God's word on the matter. And so, after he had patiently endured, I think there's a whole world of experience and circumstance behind that phrase, after he had patiently endured, it says he obtained the promise. Glory to God. There are ingredients here behind. We read in Romans 4, if you just want to quickly go back there, that links with exactly that idea. What was going on? How could Abraham keep on hoping? So in verse 18, in my version in the Bible, New King James Version, it says, who, that is Abraham, contrary to hope, kept on hoping. It says here, in hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. You get what I was saying? He was getting on a little. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. And this is the secret. He did not waver at the promise of God. We read that in Hebrews. For when God made a promise, that is absolutely key, isn't it? In any context, when God made a promise, and we're going to be able at least by the end of this morning to go out being absolutely clear what God has promised. I can't speak for your own individual unique circumstances, but we can be absolutely clear, categorical in fact, about what God has promised and its application to potentially all of us. Okay? Oh, praise him. I love this. This is great. Good to have something that's unshakable in the midst of contexts which are often pretty stormy. Unshakable. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, that is God, had promised, there it is again, he was also able to perform. I love this scripture, the three P's. These are not petit pois, by the way. These are big, massive P's. Imagine if you got served up three petit pois, you'd be gutted, wouldn't you? Fish fingers, chips, and seriously? Our girls would be made up with that. That would be manageable greens, wouldn't it? Oh, praise God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced, you can say persuaded, that what he had promised, there's the P, he was also able to perform. There we go. Triple P's right there. Promise, persuaded, perform. Oh, glory to him. His focus is entirely on the God of promise, not considering his own body. But it was key that he'd got a handle on what God had actually promised, because otherwise we're just in la la land. And we need to be careful that happens, friends. In Christian circles that happens. We make up what we think we would like God to have said to us, and in fact he hasn't. And then we get seriously disappointed because it doesn't pan out. Well, there's no guarantee that it would, because we've come up with it in the first place. But if God speaks, nothing can shake it. Nothing. And I'll tell you what, in the tenderizing process, things will come up that deliberately refute it and contradict it and make it look like it's utterly impossible. And that's part of the point. And you, with your tank empty, bless your joy, I'm with you on that. Seriously, my tank often feels empty. But that's not the point. We don't consider our own bodies in this scenario. Oh, we consider God of promise. You said it, you're going to do it. I know it doesn't look like it, but... Amen.
Amen.
This is wonderful. This is rock solid. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. Now listen to these wonderful verses back to Hebrews. So we went on a slight detour there back to Romans, forgive me, but I was just trying to emphasize the point of the God of promise. So God in Hebrews, it says, has promised Abraham in this impossible situation, surely blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you, when there's absolutely not just no evidence, but there's actually evidence to say that's not possible. So it's not just like neutral, it's actually... it's kind of like when Lazarus was dead. And not only dead, but in the Jewish mind, he was really, really dead, because for them, once it had got past 3 days in the grave, that was it. Whoa, this... I mean, I'm thinking, wow, that's amazing. I thought when someone had gone, they'd gone. But I understand that in the context for the Jewish people, if it got beyond a certain point, 3 days in the grave, then that was it. For me, it was it when he passed. And Jesus, you know the story, don't you? Jesus just comes in. I mean, this is not just neutral. This is utterly impossible. Jesus goes, hey, Lazarus, hello there. I know you can hear me. I know you're in there. Come on out. This isn't a regular occurrence, by the way. This isn't a day-to-day normal thing. But it happened. And seriously, it happened and it's recorded and there were witnesses. And Lazarus, who was not just dead, he was gone. At the response of the call of Jesus on his life. I'm telling you, that's salvation. You might be here this morning and thinking, what on earth's going on? I'm with you. Sometimes I'm thinking that. All I know is, somehow, Jesus keeps calling me. And when I feel like the tank is so empty, he says, Dave, come on, son. Abraham, Sarah, Marjorie. Sorry, I've started now. I'm not going to do all your names. Dave covers quite a few of us. And I know you're hiding behind Brian, but we all know it's Dave. I'm Andrew, by the way. Oh, bless the Lord. He knows what name to call us at any given time. He knows what we go by, doesn't he? He knows every hair on your head. And sometimes we're filled with doubts and confusion. And why is this going on? What's going on? Keep on hoping. We're dealing with Almighty God. Oh. His reach. Bless the Lord. And listen to what the Lord did to, really, to encourage Abraham. But also, it says very clearly, to encourage us here this morning. So Abraham, through patient endurance, he obtains the promise. And then it says, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, Listen to this. Determined. So this is going on in God, in His just phenomenal mind and wisdom. Thus God. And this is the reasoning behind why He does what He does in this particular context. God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Who are the heirs of promise? I asked you this last time. Not just you, but yes. In this context this morning, you and me, the heirs of promise. This is the big, big promise of God. Oh, hallelujah. The promise that He was going to come, He Himself, in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. The promise, we're the heirs of the promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit, that we could be filled with the very life of God. That we could be taken from death, so far gone, unreachable, into life. Not just life, but life abundant. Do you see, Wesley talks about widest extremes to join. You've got to have this in your head, this kind of continuum. I do this in work all the time, in training. So, let's just see where you are. On a scale of rhino to hedgehog, or on a scale of, you know, 0 to 10, can you just, and we kind of gauge where people are. It's a little bit of a reflective practice. Well, this is on a scale of utter hopelessness. And push it. As far, 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 it speaks in Scripture of those who are afar off. Sorry, this is getting a little bit depressing. Dead in trespasses and sins. Without hope, without God. It's this continuum, this from here to here. So it's there. And then, glory to God in Christ Jesus. He comes. We've just celebrated it again. And He takes us from the utter extremes of darkest night. And then as far as you can push it that way. World without end. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is coming. There's a day coming, my friends, when everything we've ever known is going to be so blown out the water, we won't know what to do with ourselves. Literally lost in wonder, love and praise. I'm talking. Just. We do not have the capacity to deal with this, what is coming as yet. And that is why we're going to be given new bodies. This is going to be without limitation. This is going to be the full expression of joy and glory and love and fulfillment. And we could go on. Language is failing us. Do you see? Can you see that picture? Oh, glory to God. And to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability, that means the unchanging nature of His counsel. He went ahead and confirmed His own word, which is immutable. It doesn't need anything extra adding to it. This is belt and braces to the extreme. If God says something, that's enough. But he went over and above, over the top, in order to convey to us, to give us hope. To show that this is unshakable. It is so watertight, so rock solid. Your salvation. I'm not talking about your circumstances panning out the way you might hope they do. I'm not talking about whether you get that car you're after, or that house, or that bunny rabbit, or whatever else it is. Bless the Lord, He comes in His grace and does intervene on these temporary ways at times. Glory to Him. I'm talking about something that is permanent and eternal. Oh, to this I hold. My hope is only Jesus. He's our inheritance. He's our house.
He's our friend. He's our lover. He's our saviour. He's our shepherd. He's our King of Kings. He's our everything. Christ, 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 said Lilia Strother, filling all the horizon. Oh, praise him. Sorry, I'm getting a little warm now, even though there's no heating. I put my fleece on. Bad mistake. Someone turn the heating down. Don't open the windows, by the way. It'd all kick off. Oh, praise him. Determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, that is his word and his oath here. Look, I mean, it's so many layers. I mean, this is the ultimate lockdown. As you read through it, determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. There's one strong strand, if ever there was. He confirmed it by an oath that by those two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong, I mean, there's an understatement on the back of all that, layer upon layer, we might have strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. There it is again. And which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. If you're wondering who Melchizedek is, you'll need to do a study of Hebrews, which I understand most of us have been doing. And now we're on to Acts. Oh, glory to God. Keep on hoping. We're doing well, aren't we? Listen, friend. If you're in the midst of tenderizing, in Jesus' name, keep on hoping. Not in shakeable stuff or things or people, but in Christ alone my hope is found. You look again to him, dear soul. He's got you. He's got you. And he's absolutely determined to show you the unchanging nature of his counsel and convey to you his promises, not just for this life, but for the life which is to come. And in him, he promises, you know what, even now, he promises a level of intimacy that we heard hinted at the beginning, and it came through clear as day on Thursday night. He has made it possible within this promise that we can know him. Brian reminded us of this the other week. This overriding purpose is that we should know him. And to that end, nothing is wasted. And in the knowing of him, you know what he's after? Fruitfulness. Not just that we find hope for our own benighted souls, but actually, weak as we are, we sang it. I've lost it. You know that one? And we press on, we labour in weakness and rejoicing. Now the point is, he gathers us up, he fills us with hope, his hope himself. And then, he says, be my beacons of hope in the darkness, in the brokenness. Reach out a hand. We heard it, clearly. We heard it through Joy's testimony. Secret there, we can go so in on ourselves as we're going through. Absolutely. But you know, the Lord is working for that to be a fruitful outcome. Fruitful, even in the land of my affliction. Seriously, hang on a minute. Give me a bit more time.
And then I'll think about fruitfulness. I've got enough on my plate. Actually, the Lord is like, you know what? Not for you to worry about, but I am causing there to be fruit right in the very place of your trial. Right there. Praise God. I'm going to skip over there. Just remind you on that point we've come to just in the last few moments. You may remember last time, and there's a scripture that speaks of hope for a tree. You remember that one? In Job, right in the middle of it, it says this. There is hope in Job 14. You don't have to turn to it. You can if you want. Job 14:7. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again. And that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. One method I have for studying the scriptures, as much as is possible, is to see Jesus all over. In and out and every which way you look. I see Jesus. In Romans, if you don't believe me, just link those thoughts. In Romans 15:12-13, it says, there shall be a root of Jesse, quoting from Isaiah, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. So there, at the cross, at a particular point in time, in our world, Jesus having already come, the first advent, he's lived a life, he's been through it, he's learnt obedience through the things he suffered, he's gone through this tenderization. As a man. And there comes a point. It's the central point of the whole universe. The Son of Man, the King of Glory, the Root of Jesse, the one and only, the hope for the world, the joy of heaven. And he's nailed onto the cruel cross, bearing your sin, bearing my sin, bearing all that's wrong in the whole world, all the injustice, all the brokenness, all the heartache, every last bit of it, past, present, and future. This is it. Glory to God. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Who's the desire? You see, we often reduce that right down to a kind of personal thing, and there's application there, I'm not denying that, but we've got to go big panoramic first and see Christ filling all the horizon, filling everything. It's all about him. It's all about him. I can't overemphasize that enough. We trip ourselves up getting too inward. Look away, look to him, lift up your heads to the coming King. He's coming. Absolutely undoubted, he's coming sure as sure. And I don't fully get it. Brian's thinking a lot about it, aren't you? What I do know is we're 2,000 or so years closer to when the Lord's people in those early days thought his coming was imminent. So I'm just doing a little bit of logical application there. We're talking imminent more so than 2,000 odd years ago, aren't we? I mean, sorry if that's not specific enough for you, but can we just agree he's coming soon? Oh, come Lord Jesus, and at the same time I'm praying for friends and colleagues and family members. Oh Lord, be patient. Praise God. And right on the back of that, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Quoting from Isaiah 11, this is in Romans 15:12-13. Paul then writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Not just kind of getting through by the skin of your teeth, but this is another one of those. That you may abound in hope. How? By your own motivation? By you grabbing your bootstraps and giving yourself a motivational talk? No, actually. Unless that motivational talk is, come on soul, why are you cast down within yourself? Hope thou in God. You can do that kind of motivational talk if it's based on scripture. But listen, it says by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are absolutely done for if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We do not have the wherewithal to keep this up. When confronted with heartaches and situations that are impossible. But praise God, He's made it possible for you and I. Not based on your personality. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert's got nothing to do with it. You're a vessel chosen to be filled with the very life of Jesus. And we can be those against all the odds, can I put it like that, that abound in hope. There is hope for a tree. If ever that was fulfilled, it was fulfilled perfectly at Calvary. At the same time, the tree of life was hewn down. What He was doing, this is amazing, I've thought a lot, I haven't quite got it clear, but what He was doing at the very same moment as the tree of life Himself was hewn down as the remedy for this sin-stricken world. The axe was laid to the root of sin, potentially in all of our lives, for it to be dealt with at the same time. But we're talking about the tree of life here. He's been hewn down. Literally dead and buried. Don't be fobbed off with any conspiracy theories about He expired. He was gone. When He said it's finished and He gave Himself up to the Father, the tree of life was hewn down. There is hope. And somehow, mysteriously, in the very moment on that place, Golgotha, there on the cross, the greatest heartbreak, the greatest injustice, the greatest wrong that this world has ever seen, was the very place that God Almighty was bringing in the greatest hope. It's right there, my friends. This is a big truth. I've pondered it. I've thought of all kinds of illustrations. I'm going to keep talking about it. This is a big, big truth. Right there.